people will find you from Kuala Lumpur.
That sounds good. The credibility,
I think
right?
Near New Jersey, isn't it? Sure.
It's right between Philly and Jersey. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
We are live from Paris, France, the overpriced food and fashion capital of the world. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling. I'm joined by
Jen Gluckow, founder and CEO of Sales in the New York Minute.
And this is this week's after holiday edition, where you're going back and returning stuff that you really didn't want anyway, trying to get a few bucks in your pocket. This is Sell or Die. And we're going to help you today, help you buy more, sell more, do more, be more. This is going to be an amazing show. We have a guest today.
Oh, yeah. David Mamano.
And he's going to talk about print. He's going to talk about digital. He's going to talk about being an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur. And we...
And the fundamentals of sales success.
Yeah.
He's an awesome
guy.
I'm really excited about him.
He's a real good guy.
Yeah.
You'll really like the interview. It's very good.
Now, you know, normally our audio is just perfecto.
Yeah.
So today, if you're listening to us and you're like, what's going on? It's because we didn't want you to miss an episode just because we were traveling.
Exactly. Okay? We didn't want you to miss 1 minute, even though we're in Paris, France. Did I mention that? Okay, cool. Let me explain what's amazing about Paris. Everything.
That's right.
If you've never been here, they have airplanes now. You can buy a ticket and show up.
We'll be here till the first if you want to come hang out.
Yeah. Here's the deal, though. Today we want to talk about customer recognition. And many of you might think to yourself, wow, customer recognition, that's a really good idea. I send everybody a Christmas card. And no, not that kind of recognition. I'm talking about how do you recognize when a customer is standing right in front of you?
Okay, so let me talk about why this even came up. We're at the holiday market in New York. Then we go to the Paris flea market, or the antique market. We're walking around. We see things we want to buy. We ask for their card because...
We don't want to ship it.
We don't want to ship it. We don't want to schlep. We want to ship.
Right.
And so we ask for their card. We're legit potential buyers. Not one person asked for one of our cards. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
literally, we got 10 cards of things we may buy.
Can I follow up? Is there anything else I can do? What can I do for you, sir? Can I have more of your money? No. They didn't care about anything except cash at the moment because it's the holiday season. People want money if they possibly can get it. And they're kind of pissed off that they don't have an immediate sale. Like, dude, I would rather have 10 years worth of sales and from an amazing shipping recovery company or amazing shipping service company than I would try to drag something around town all day long.
Let's say they give out 25 cards a day. That's probably low, but let's just say.
Yeah.
Okay. What if they could get 5 more sales because they followed up?
Significant. You come to this little booth. They pay thousands of dollars for the booth for the holiday. People come in the booth and they look around and they... like turn around to walk away. Wouldn't you go, hey, dude, please take my card. Please go online. Please take a look at what else we have. We ship. We love customers. And be impressionable. Recognize the customer. Recognize that everybody who stops in that booth, everybody who stops in that store has a wallet. And inside the wallet is a credit card. And all you have to do to double your chances to get it is give away a business card. I couldn't believe it. And I don't want to call everybody a moron, but they're morons, I think.
So if you're a listener, how do you recognize if the customer is right in front of you? And I want you to think about what potential opportunities you may be missing out on.
And the answer is you have to think, what else can I do? So if a person comes in and you're in a retail store, as an example, and you say, can I help you? And they say, just looking. You have to think, what else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, well, if you're just looking, let me show you what just came in. Now you're involved. Or let me ask, if you're in a clothing store, are you just looking for business or are you just looking for casual? There are things that you can do that will engage the customer intellectually and immediately. But you'd rather just go, okay, you're just looking. Okay, then I'll be over here. Just yell if you need me.
Yeah, exactly. And then they go back to their phone and Instagram or whatever.
Totally
so frustrating. So I want to identify some opportunities and some situations where I've encountered, you know, I could be a potential customer and the salesperson misses out. I'm going to give another example, Jeffrey.
Okay.
So I went to pick up our car from getting serviced the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to wait a good 10 to 15 minutes while they finished cleaning it and whatnot. Well, I'm there. I'm at the dealership. I'm like a live potential customer right in front of them. I own one of their cars. It's 10 years old. It's probably time for a new car.
Right.
Right. Not one person said, you know, we just got this great new car in. Can I show it to you? Do you want to see it? Can I take you for a test drive?
Literally, I couldn't believe it. I've spent an hour in their waiting room, same car, just getting my oil changed. And nobody comes out and goes, 10-year-old car, what the hell are you thinking?
Right.
Here's a new one. Go take it for a drive and see what the difference is. People are, that's a $35,000, $45,000, $55,000 sale that they're paying no attention to. I'm in their store.
And you're captive because, like, you can't go anywhere.
I'm drinking their shitty coffee. I'm eating their lousy peanut butter crackers. I'm on my computer.
You eat those things?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Interrupt me and sell me a car. And I see people walking back and forth and people say hello to me.
They look so busy.
They're busy doing nothing. So I'm only challenging, I'm not going to mention the name of the place because it's not fair to them. But the bottom line is they did not take advantage of a customer sitting there, unengaged.
But how many times does your customer come in for a service or for help or for more
maybe
information?
Maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, maybe once a year, maybe twice a year.
Yep.
Okay, so I think that we're in a situation where people are just blasé. I think that, you know, it's that time of year where people have thoughts about their stuff rather than customer stuff. And I think that's what we really have to do. There's all kinds of examples, but please give me your business card. Just give me something that acknowledges the fact that you recognize that I'm a potential customer.
Don't just give me the card. Take my card.
Right. Okay. But here's the deal. Make certain that you engage me. Make certain that I feel like you actually care about getting my business or earning my business.
Okay, so that's the key. If you engage me and you're the salesperson and you have built some sort of relationship with me, that second, the second where we've had a conversation, where we have built some rapport, now I'm your potential customer.
Without a doubt. And it doesn't matter if it's a $20 purchase or a $10 purchase or a $20,000 purchase. The game is the same. Engage me in a way where I will remember you and that I feel as though you actually care about me as a person or as a customer, not just taking care of my wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's our rant for the day. Let's talk about who's coming up now.
All right. We have David Mamato, and I was actually out for this episode, but I listened to it and it is amazing. David gives such great advice for entrepreneurs, for salespeople out there.
Yep.
And he really talks about the fundamentals of sales success.
He is from Rochester, New York. Many of you don't know Rochester. It's a place up in northern New York State. It's freezing cold there. People stay there. I don't know why. It's placed strategically near Syracuse and Buffalo. But the bottom line is it's a very heavy entrepreneur city. They want to succeed there. They want to do more there. And David is at the fulcrum point of helping people do that, either through consulting, through mastermind groups, or through his business services. Please help me welcome the great David Mamato.
We're very, very excited to have you on the show.
It's me and you today because we, my partner Jennifer is gone. She's flown away, flown the coop. But
not for good.
No. Right. She's only temporarily. She's away a day.
Okay.
But I am actually, I grew up in a business environment. My dad, my grandfather was a businessman because they didn't have the word entrepreneur then. And my father was an entrepreneur, and all the people that ever came to my house were business people. So I kind of get what your gist is, but maybe you could tell people, start out by telling people what it is that you actually do.
Great question. So I have been an entrepreneur, as they say now, for a whopping 22 years. I know that's nothing in your world, but I'm pretty excited about it.
I have underwear that old.
You wearing it today?
No.
So I started a company back in 95. It was a printed magazine for high school students called Next Step. And we grew that nationwide. We distributed free in 20,000 high schools. And the way we supported it, sold ads. That did really well until the digital revolution kicked our butt. And then I've been reinventing the past few years. I started coaching entrepreneurs to start and grow businesses. And then I started a podcast for entrepreneurs. And then I started doing a radio show locally in Rochester for entrepreneurs. I'm launching a new magazine for entrepreneurs, and I have events for entrepreneurs where I bring in speakers. So what I'm really doing is creating all this content, like you've kind of done for the sales world. And believe me, I'm not comparing myself to you. I'm step a half of where you've been on your whole journey. But my whole goal is to create really great content for entrepreneurs. A lot of it's free, like podcasts, et cetera, and then monetize it by finding sponsors for the events, et cetera.
So, let's place you, because people from Minnesota might be a little bit confused. This is Rochester, New York.
Yeah, it's the main Rochester, we like to say.
Yeah, it's the mothership Rochester.
Although several ships
have sailed from Rochester. You probably still have Genesee beer. Is that true?
We have Genesee beer, the sixth largest brewery in the country. How do you like that?
Doggone. It's amazing to me that people who live in, let's just say, not major metropolitan areas, they tend to know every stat about every company that lives there.
Right. Yep.
But the people in big cities, like you ask somebody in New York, well, how many people does Citibank employ? They have no idea.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to, you know, like we're close to Buffalo, we're close to Syracuse. And you know what? It's like how, you know,
That's not a claim to fame, by the way.
We are proud people. You know, we stay here for a reason.
Right.
We get the full thrust of all four seasons, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you know, I mean, you're from Philly, I remember, right?
Yes,
and
it's I just, am.
There's something in.
We're 5-1. I don't know whether you know that or not.
Not bad.
Are the Bills still in the NFL?
We are in first place in our division. How do you like that?
Got you.
So okay, cool. We may make the playoffs this year. but, you know, we're like, you know, the vines that grow in the soil produce very specific grapes and you can't transplant them. There's something in the soil here that just makes Western New Yorkers just, we like to think, very unique people.
Yeah, I agree. And I've always enjoyed myself there in any of those cities. They unfortunately call them the Rust Belt, which I don't like that name for them at all.
Yeah.
Syracuse is a very vibrant city. Rochester is a very vibrant city. And so is Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo had wings named after him. Come on.
That's right.
You're at Niagara Falls. This is a, you know, you could drive there in a heartbeat.
Well, you know, Rochester, for a city our size, and we could talk about Kodak, unfortunately, it's still here, but it's a small fraction of the company it used to be. But back in the day, when you think about what George Eastman, the founder of Kodak, did, I mean, he created a worldwide brand, the worldwide brand, 100 years ago with no internet, no anything, right?
Hey, I mean, Kodak moment.
Kodak moment, exactly.
You couldn't have created a better brand.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, so my family is from Sicily, right? And so you go to these small little Sicilian top hilltop towns with nothing, and you go to the general store and the Kodak logo is on there. And I'm like, unbelievable. Yeah. How did this guy do this with 100 years ago from Rochester, New York, right?
So tell me about the magazine you started and why you did not go digital.
Well, we're doing print and digital. And And it's maybe because I'm 48. I delivered my newspaper in Rochester back in the day. I ran the college newspaper. I ran a national magazine for teens, like I said, for 18 years. And I still feel print is part of the pie. I don't think it should be the whole pie.
No, but listen, so does Time Magazine, but it ain't working anymore.
Yeah. And for me, a lot of the people that are going to be reading the magazine are people that I feel strongly still, sit down to read a little bit every day, every week, whether it's a book, a magazine, a news, their city business journal. Mm-hmm. So it's not coming out every month. It's going to be twice a year. And it's a piece of the pie of the media company that we're building for entrepreneurs. So
you'll print it and you'll digitize it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I can read it on my Kindle.
You can read it on your Kindle.
Absolutely. I don't have a Kindle. I have an iPad.
But you can read it on there too.
I have the Kindle software.
Excellent.
That could be the smartest move Amazon ever made.
Absolutely.
Give away the software and sell the razors.
Right. Yep. That seems to be the method that works, right? Buy the printer for $100 and the cartridges cost $500, right?
Exactly. Gillette actually coined that. Give away the razor, sell the blades.
Right. Yep.
And they're up there too. Aren't they up in upstate New York somewhere?
I think Gillette used to be in the Albany area, but I'm not sure where they are now. Yeah.
Right. Where are they now? They're in the South where it's warm.
Probably. Well, ironically, you talk about Syracuse, who invented air conditioning.
Correct.
Which reinvented the South, right? So thank you, Syracuse.
They saved a bunch of jobs there, not all of them, but they saved a bunch of jobs. And I think in order to get those jobs back or to get people to come back, you have to make it attractive, isn't it?
Right.
Entrepreneurship is all about attraction, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So how do you coach those young entrepreneurs to create attraction?
Well, I mean, so really with a lot of young entrepreneurs, the benefit of today's technology is you could be anywhere, right? You could be in Rochester, New York and be doing worldwide business. Mm-hmm. So I encourage them to think like, just because you're in Rochester, the whole world is your customer base. So how can you carve out a niche, so you can work from anywhere. Right. I mean, look at me. I've got this Yeti microphone, a computer. I can do my podcast from Aruba tomorrow if I want to. It doesn't matter where I am. So how could you make your business mobile where you don't have to be? I don't have a landline phone anymore. I use Grasshopper phone system. Right. Mm-hmm. And I could be in Sicily and I could still be conducting business and nobody will know where I am. So that's number one. Number two is going back to the fundamentals. Do you have a sales process? I mean, you'll appreciate that. People have a lot of passions and they turn their passions into a business. But oftentimes those passions don't work out because there's not a sales process or a business model behind the passion.
But they can create attraction through online notification and attraction, correct?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that comes down to a lot of savvy digital marketing, right? So, I mean, you could do it in today's world with Facebook. And I use LinkedIn a lot now. I put a post on there a couple of days ago about creating a mastermind group here in Rochester. I've got like 40 people saying, sign me up. With one post that didn't cost me anything. Mm-hmm. So I think it goes to the attraction goes to, trying to stand out in a very authentic way, but finding out really what people are looking for and trying to create that niche around it.
And how do you generate authenticity? What do you have to do? Or what are the fundamentals of creating authenticity?
Well, look at you. I've known you, not well, but I instigated bringing you to Rochester for an event I had about 15 years ago with the mm-hmm. Rochester Business Journal. Mm-hmm. And, how authentic, does it get more authentic than you, right? Like you're not coming in with a fancy suit and, you're Jeffrey. You are who you are. And you're like, your tagline maybe should be, I'm not for everybody, but you're not changing. You're just, you are who you are and people love your content and then they love your personality. So don't try to be someone on the internet that's like making a lot of money. Try to be you. Try to find your own niche.
I don't brag about I make a lot of money. I brag about how I can help other people.
Right.
And I think that's the better brag.
Yeah. Well,
I don't need to be standing in front of a Mercedes in order to be able to make my case.
Right. Well, because you have good content, right? Like your product is good. Mm-hmm. You know, like every salesperson I've ever hired through the years, guess what? They've read the Little Red Book of Selling, mm-hmm. right? Because it's good stuff. You know, the Rochester Business Journal, they've read your column through the years because I've given it to them. So you've got, what's behind your curtain is real, right? And sometimes, yep. So is it real? Hey, look at there.
It is real.
You know, and I got the brick wall behind me. You know, a lot of people that they're on Facebook, they're on the social media, they look fantastic, right? Their life is great. They've got Ferraris and women. But then you look behind their curtain and there's a crap show, right? And so I'd rather have like the meat than.
Basically what you're saying is there has to be a solid foundation.
There's got to be value, a solid foundation of value being offered. You know, mm-hmm. like someone could read one of your books and walk away smarter in sales, right? So
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Are you planning a book for your launch?
Well, I've written one book a couple years ago. It's called Make Love in the Workplace, and it's all about workplace culture. So it's a lot of workplace culture strategies and tips. Oh. And I think my next book is going to be about reinvention.
Cool. Make love in the workplace, but don't get caught. Is that what it is?
Try not to get caught. That's
But I guess what you're saying is you have to love what you do and be passionate about it from your inside.
Well, that, and also let it spread. Let it spread to your team. You know, I'm sure people showing up at your place every day, they love the paycheck, but more so they love the culture. They love the environment. You know, there's the Sicilian phrase, the fish rots from the head down. Right.
Yeah.
And so if the leader's rotten, you know, there goes the rest of the organization. But if the head is fresh, you know, then you have a nice organization. So
we do. I don't consider myself to have a team of people. Rather, we have a family.
That's great.
And I think the family is better understood than the team.
Absolutely.
There's no I in team, but there is an I in family.
I like that.
And I think that from there we work it. Hold on. I think our producer has something that he's
going to say. Well, I was just going
to
say, I can confirm that your head is very fresh.
Oh, cool.
And very bald.
Very shiny like a fish, right?
So. Yeah. Sometimes I'm attacked for it. I'll tell you. I tend to be edgy. But that's my Philadelphia heritage. Everyone in Philadelphia is edgy.
But it's who you are. You're not pretending to be.
I have a T-shirt that says, "I'm from Philly. No one likes us. We don't care."
Right. Yeah.
and I think that's the essence of the process, that you have to go out and beat your drum, and some people will dance to it. Not everybody will dance to it.
Yeah.
If you win 48% of the vote, you can be president of the United States. So what that means is that 52% of the people don't like you or didn't vote for you, and you still win.
You're still a leader of the free world. Yeah. I think that's a mistake because everybody, you know, trying to make everybody like you. You're right. Now, let me find, you know, 20% of a niche that loves me, and I'm going to do just fine. Right? Yeah.
My favorite color is not plaid. My favorite color is red.
Mine is too.
Yeah. There you go. but I think that you're finding, did your book do well?
Well, I self-published it, and I use it more as a marketing tool for consulting. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, it did very well. The next book, I'm gonna try to get it, you know, professionally published by the one of the Simon & Schuster's of the world, I hope.
Cool. I think that's the right thing to do because that will give you credibility literally forever.
Right.
You know, your kids or your family, you'll have that thing to be handed down. And I think that's the right thing to do. When you do what we do, if you're trying to help other people and do consulting with other people or speaking with other people, then your niche now doesn't have to be Rochester and the surrounding, you know, metropolitan area of Buffalo and Syracuse. Your niche can be anywhere.
Right.
If you have the right information, you're rolling.
Yep.
And people will find you from Kuala Lumpur.
That sounds good. The credibility,
I think
right?
Near New Jersey, isn't it? I'm not sure.
It's right between Philly and Jersey. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay, so what advice are you going to give entrepreneurs that are listening today? Because we have a ton of them.
Well, I would say the first advice I always give entrepreneurs is don't go at it alone. You know, if you're rethinking Grow Rich, creating a mastermind alliance, there's so many people out there that can help you, reaching out to them. I read books, I call people, right? I mean, I did that with you years ago. That's how I had the idea to bring you to town. So whether it's just people in your town that have done well and you want to use them as mentors, but just reach out to some crazy people that they think will never call you back. So mm-hmm. create a mastermind alliance. I think that is very important. And then number two, for the entrepreneurs, we're so famous for trying to do everything, especially in the beginning. And, you know, as Michael Gerber says, work hard at working on the business, not in the business. And don't try to do everything. You can't make the pies all day long, every day. Teach someone else to make the pies so you can grow the business to the next level. And trust people, hire great people, learn to delegate. Don't abdicate, as my friend Darren Hardy says. He says, delegate, don't abdicate, and set up systems to inspect what you expect.
Yeah, so that'd be I totally agree with that. I agree with Darren. I do not agree with Michael Gerber. And the reason that I don't agree with him is that I grew up in a manufacturing business, my father's manufacturing business, and I worked hard in the business. And mm-hmm. I became proficient in every one of the steps in the business so that no one who worked in, we employed about 100 people, no one could come to me and say, I can't do this job.
Right.
Because I could.
Yep.
And so I had the inside credibility in order to be able to build the outside reputation.
I agree with that. But I think at some point, though, and I did the same thing. I mean, when I started my company, I did everything and I knew how to do everything. But in order to grow, then I started delegating so that I could.
Yeah, I don't disagree with delegating. I don't disagree with growing and hiring people. But I don't think you can ever lose the touch.
Right.
You have to come in the morning and say hi to everybody. You have to come in.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So yep. I don't know. I don't like that pontification. It makes it such an easy statement that might be tweetable, but not actually doable.
Yep, I agree. It's probably, it's certainly an oversimplified statement.
Darren is much more down to earth, and Darren is much more in your face about what to really do. And I admire him.
Right. Yep. Yep. I'm a Darren disciple. I've been to a lot of his seminars for sure. So
cool. So, what else can an entrepreneur do to get his business off the ground?
Well, I'm going to probably appease you a little bit here, but you know what? Nothing freaking happens until you make a sale. And I see so many people start, build these beautiful brands and designs and products, and then they fail because they didn't sell something. They don't have a bona fide sales process.
So do you have to go out and kind of look for buyers before you begin your own business? Or do you just think if I build it, they will come?
Well, I'm a big believer that you definitely want to validate your idea to some extent before you just build it. Because if there's a book called The Lean Startup, which you probably know about. And I wouldn't ever build and finish an entire product before I tested it a little bit, had some feedback on it, because most of the products I've launched a year later were either very different or completely different. So it took me a while to kind of noodle around and find the way I could help people with this product. And oftentimes it wasn't the way I originally thought.
So does a business person need to make a plan or make a sale?
Make a plan or make a sale.
Yeah, I think about it. If I give a banker my business plan, do you think they're going to read it?
They never read it.
No, what they want to know is how you're going to pay me back.
Right.
And in order to be able to do that, I got to make sales. Correct.
Yeah, you go to the bank with $100,000 in sales your first 6 months. The bank's going to listen to you much more than a business plan, right?
Correct. So I think you should go with proof.
Yep.
I mean, I'd rather have videos from customers telling me how great the business is so I can take that to the banker.
Yep.
They're lending money to people and they're not just to businesses. Especially.
Yeah, the first thing. Go ahead. Yeah, I'll say the first thing you should do. So, like, so for instance, when I wanted to launch my magazine, I called dozens and dozens of people who would either be advertising in it or reading it, to find out what they wanted. Why would they advertise and what kind of unique competitive advantage can I create for my new magazine? Mm-hmm. And then I put together the prototype and the product, but then I went back to those people. I said, okay, I listened to you. Here's what I'm doing. Thanks for your feedback. Will you buy an ad now? and they felt engaged part of the process. So they did.
What kind of articles appear in the magazine?
So I've got, I want an article from you. Let me say that first down the road.
No problem.
It's sales, it's marketing, it's wellness, right? Wellness for the entrepreneur, it's health. It's everything from, so Rob Dubay, a good friend of mine, he's starting a company called Do Nothing. It's about meditation. So he writes about the power of meditation.
Headspace is part of the culture.
I have that app. Yeah. So I got, Gary Vaynerchuk to write an article. I got, you probably know, Ari Weinzweig from Zingerman's writing about how to create a vision, right? So I've got some really great authors writing about all this stuff that I really feel is good, some good foundational stuff for brand new entrepreneurs.
And when can I get a copy of this?
Well, it comes out in about 2 weeks, my first issue, and cool. I will personally mail you a box.
No. We have thousands of listeners. How do they get one?
Oh, I got you. Okay. So they can go to Avanti.
I'm trying to promote you, David. A big thing. Okay, cool.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the layup that I missed.
No problem. we'll talk about that in just a minute, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, they could go to Avanti Entrepreneur Group. .com and they can subscribe right there. It's only $10 a year.
AvantiEntrepreneurGroup.com.
Yep. AVANTI. AvantiEntrepreneurGroup.com. And Avanti means move forward in Italian.
Oh, I thought it was car that used to be produced in the 60s.
Well, that was the American version. Yes.
Got it. Okay. They're probably worth more today than they were when they sold them at retail, correct? If you get it.
Probably. It was like wasn't it kind of a version of the Studebaker or something like that?
Yeah. It was a pretty cool car. It was a sports car.
Yep.
But it wasn't Tesla-like, but it was certainly Maserati-like.
For its time, it was a little head, huh?
Yeah. When I was in the fifth grade, I went to summer camp every year, and the owners of the camp had other jobs. One of the owners of my summer camp was Harry Litwack, who coached Temple University at the time. Mm-hmm. And Uncle Harry would come around, and like any camp, they recruit you for the summer camp. So I invited all my buddies. Uncle Harry was coming over. I invited all my buddies down to the basketball court so that Uncle Harry could teach us some fancy move, and I would forever be the neighborhood hero. So Uncle Harry comes to the camp, and he was a little stocky guy. In his day, he was a set shot shooter. Say that. Mm-hmm. Say that three times. And he's smoking a cigar. My friends gather around. Uncle Harry puts the cigar down on the ground. He goes, "Give me that ball." And somebody bounce passes him the ball. And he stands under the basket, and he shoots a layup, and he makes it. And he said, "You see that shot? 99% of all basketball games are won with that shot. Don't miss it."
Mm-hmm.
And he walks off the court.
That was it, huh? Mic drop, right? The basics?
30 years later, it was the best lesson I ever got in business. You don't have to be fancy, but you do have to make your layups.
Yep.
And you have to do it in a way that is consistent enough to be able to win.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you run into entrepreneurs all the time that want to get fancy early rather than focus on layups. How do you keep them down on the farm until they've mastered their craft?
Yep. Well, I think the layup in any business is the sales, right? The sales calls. You're right. People get fancy. They want to have the beautiful sign and the beautiful website and design, which nobody looks at. obviously some people go to the website, but I think people spend way too much time on thinking about these things that at the end don't matter as much as they think they do. But the layups are, coming into work and setting a goal. I'm going to make at least 20 new sales calls today, right? Mm-hmm. Carving out an hour to do that. If you do that every day consistently, there's 260, weekdays in the year.
Right, but let's call it 250 so you can have a 2-week vacation.
Yeah, there you go. So 250, 10 a day, right? I mean, that's a lot of sales calls, right? That's 2,500 sales calls that you're not making because you're working on your website. And how long does it take you to just make 10 new sales calls? Those are the layups, in my opinion.
Yeah, I recommend
it doesn't take rocket science.
I recommend to salespeople that they have a cup of coffee every morning with somebody that can bring them money or bring them some kind of and that's 250 sales calls in a year.
Right.
And you're going to make sales if you just do that.
Absolutely.
My buddy Jeb Blunt says make the last call at the end of the day. By the way, if you haven't interviewed him, you should. He's really good. Mm-hmm. So making one more call at the end of a day and making one cup of coffee with somebody that can potentially either be a sale or refer you a sale, that's going to give you 500 calls at the end of a year that you would not have normally made.
Right. Yep.
There's a lot of sales guys that don't make 500 calls in a year.
Right.
Yeah. That's two a day.
Well, I'll tell you what a good student I am of yours, Jeffrey. So you, that thing you just said at the end of the day, make one more call before you leave. You wrote that in one of your columns years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And correct. So I brought that column into my salespeople. I had about six salespeople at the time. And I said, here's what you got to do. Just, you're about to leave. You're putting on your coat, sit back down, one more call. You have 5 minutes, right? And there was one woman that listened to me that consistently did that every day. And within a year, she was the top salesperson by far. And she literally was about to get one more call. And so that's a layup. That's a layup,
that's
right?
Totally a layup. A layup. I'm going to send that the segment to Jeb Blunt and make sure he recognizes that he didn't invent make the last call. But this is the challenge to any entrepreneur or any would-be entrepreneur that's listening. Mm-hmm. There are formulas that will help you, but you have to put your heart into this process, not your brain about the money mm-hmm. into the process. And that's part of the title from your book, correct?
Exactly.
If you're not going to do it with the ultimate passion, then there's no sense doing it, because if you do it for the money, it's most likely you won't make it.
Right. Oh, I agree. And listen, it's at the end of the day, it's just work. It's just rolling up your sleeves and make it happen. I joke with my team all the time. You know what? I'm not that smart. I just work my tail off, and I won't use the word tail. Right. And, I said, but I'll outwork you. I'll make 10, 20 sales calls, before you get in the office sometimes. And that is really, I think, a huge differentiating factor.
If you have a little bit more wisdom for that entrepreneur that's out there, David, I'd like to hear it now, because we're about to say thank you for this interview. I'm going to give you a shot to talk to your audience.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I would say my last piece of wisdom is, when you do start to build a team, is do whatever you can to, as Jack Welch says, hire slow, fire fast, and then make sure you retain those A players, and because it allows your life and your experience as an entrepreneur to just be so much better, and allows you, like you said, to take that vacation and not have to worry about the office all the time. Take employee culture very seriously.
Cool. Tell me one more time how people get a hold of you.
So very simple. They can email me, david@davidmamano.com, or they can go to avantientrepreneurgroup.com.
Cool. Go to Google, you guys. Find David. He knows what he's talking about, and he can help you in your business. Thank you, David. Thank you very much,
Jeffrey,
for being on Sell or Die.
Well, I'll tell you, Jen, that was a pretty interesting interview for me, because I wanted to step all over it, but I sort of stepped back. As I shared with you when we were reviewing this, I owe my success to print. I was in business journals and business magazines and other things that were in print, Entrepreneur Magazine, I made the cover of one time. I could not be as advanced as I am were it not for the years 1992 to 1996, where everything was printed. 1996, let's see, that was 20 years ago, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's over. In case you haven't realized it now, the Yellow Pages is either kindling or compost. It is no longer a book that anyone turns to. They turn to Mother Google.
Yeah.
And, the expression is Bing helps you decide. I decided to use Google. And because it gets me every answer that I need in about 1 second, or it can get me hundreds of answers that I need in about 1 second.
From wherever you are, right. As long as you have your phone.
So the challenge is this. I respect the fact that he's going to print a book, and some books are really nice and they're printed, but they're about 1/5 what they used to be at most. Look at any daily newspaper. It's almost out of business. Look at any of the major institutional publications like Time and Newsweek. They're either not printing anymore, or they're relying on digital in order to be able to keep their presses rolling.
I hear what you're saying, Jeffrey, about the print versus digital argument, but I receive so little in the mail right now that I'd actually be excited to receive a print book. And I would look at the ad.
Not a book. I'm talking about a magazine.
I would be excited to receive a magazine in the mail. There are a few magazines that I actually read. And, you know, I don't know if you know the book. It's like a magazine kind of book, Monocle for Travelers. But I love that. And I get that in the mail. Yeah. And, you know, there's
some. And listen, there's always exceptions. I'm talking about the majority of people are not buying a print magazine anymore or a printed newspaper anymore. If you get the Wall Street Journal, I'll guarantee you the Wall Street Journal has more digital readers than they do paper readers.
Remember you got that cold note in the mail?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I called the guy. Yeah, I agree.
And you opened it.
Yep.
And you actually got in touch with him and we had him on our show.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So that got your attention. Okay. Because you get so little in the mail right now. You get your bills, which gets like, you know, put in a pile. And then you actually read the other stuff that comes through the mail. But on email, you do not read everything.
I do delete.
Yeah. You go delete. I watch you. You don't even open half your email. You go delete.
Okay. But when I get something, if I get a New Yorker magazine, which I'm currently a little disappointed in, but I'll flip the pages myself.
Right.
And I think that it's more fun to do it on your iPad. And then when I'm done, I don't have to deal with the magazine. I'm done with it.
I don't know. I disagree.
Well, there you go.
Maybe I'm old school.
I'm new school. but if whatever school you're in, whether you're I dropped out of school, actually. I think it's probably the best way to put it. But I think that you have to look at this from a standpoint of David gives a very solid point on print versus digital. He said print is important, but if you listen to the interview carefully, he spent 3/4 of it talking about digital.
He did. He has all these technology tools that right. he uses to advance himself as an entrepreneur, which I think are great.
And he gives a lot of great entrepreneurial advice, starting with the fulcrum point of being an entrepreneur, go out and sell something. You don't need to build a business if you can't, you know, if you build it, they will come. No. If you sell it, they will pay you and you will succeed. That should have been the name of the movie. But I think that, you know, field of sales is what it should be, not field of dreams.
I think it's hard for some people, though, when they have a craft that they're really good at, whether it be an art thing or a food thing or whatever, they really do think, if I open this shop, people are going to come.
I'm going to just tell you this. We collect art. And there's a place in the West Village called Pop International, owned by Jeff Jaffe. I've spent untold money in that art gallery because whenever I look at a piece of art and I like it, Jeff Jaffe has a story that goes along with it. And that story is compelling from a standpoint.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Jeff is an amazing salesperson because you walk into the store and he helps you make an emotional connection
right.
with something he wants you to buy.
Right. What's wrong with that?
I love it.
But that's the real entrepreneurism that needs to take place. It's not about, he doesn't talk to me about bookkeeping. He doesn't talk to me about staffing up. He doesn't talk to me about his admin. He talks to me about what I'm interested in buying.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, he now has 2 galleries, one in Midtown and one in the West Village. No, it's not in the West Village. It's in Soho. And you need to go there. Pop International. Ask for Jeff Jaffe. Tell him I sent you. In the meantime, the entrepreneurship that David Mamano talks about wraps itself around the selling process. And he says, as Red Motley did in 1946, nothing happens until a sale is made. And he's exactly correct. And I'm challenging you as a listener, go out in this great season of giving and try to receive.
So we encounter a ton of entrepreneurs in Paris. Okay.
Yeah.
From the bakery guy
yep.
to the clothing store
yep.
owner to the restaurant person.
Yep.
And we see them year after year after year. And some of them we spend a bunch of money with. Some of them we might spend 10 euro with in 1 week.
Yep.
Okay. How do they treat us every time we come in?
Like gold. But it's because I've made an emotional connection with them at the start. and they like us as people, mm-hmm. also as customers.
But they also see, they are recognizing that A, you or I are a customer, and that B, we have that referral potential.
We go to the crepe place, and the crepe guy is...
I love that place.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And we don't wait online outside. We just walk
inside.
There might
be like 40 people online.
Right, so we go inside. He knows who we are. I've been going there for 10 years. He'll make me exactly what we want and pour us a cup of tea while we're waiting.
Yeah.
So I think that it's all about how you make the connection and how you build the relationship first, and then how you spend the money second.
Okay, but how many people, back to the entrepreneur part of this, how many people have you told about the crepe place?
Oh, hundreds.
Okay, same here. We have a Paris list.
Right.
So, by the way, if
you're
email,
coming to Paris.
If right. you email, Doug, what's your Sell or Die email?
Sellordie@gittimer.com.
Sellordie@gittimer.com.
Our Paris list.
Exactly. Where to go, what to see, what to do. Come on.
What to eat.
Right.
Anyway, our crepe guy, we've referred to hundreds of people all because he treats us like that.
Anyway, for you, I'm challenging you to make this the year of recognizing customers. 2018, the year of recognizing customers. Not telling them how much you love them or how much you appreciate their business. No, no. I'm talking about recognizing who a customer is when they walk in the door.
They're right in front of you.
Exactly. And until then, I hope your year is successful. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. You can, by the way, if you don't subscribe to Sell or Die, what the hell are you thinking?
Yeah, just go to sellordiepodcast.com.
And you can get all that stuff. You might want to invest in the Gittimer Learning Academy this year. It's on its way up. We are absolutely doing an amazing job of reforming it and reframing it. It will be built specifically for salespeople and sales leaders. So if you are a sales leader and you want your salespeople to have 10 minutes a day of a kick in the butt, this is the perfect thing for you.
And I think it's only appropriate that we end the last show of this year with a major thank you to our producer.
Yeah, the great.
Doug Branson.
Yep.
Oh, thanks, guys.
it's nothing, Doug. We
No, we're thanking you, Doug.
Exactly, dude. We totally appreciate not only the hard work that you put in, but the expertise that you have helped us build in podcasting. And it's just, next year is going to be a banner podcast year for everybody. And I think that we're going to...
And this is just one of his many hats.
That's
Gittimer.
True.
So
yeah,
we're very, very lucky.
He wears other hats. He wears a coffee hat. That's very important. And he has his own podcast, which is even cooler, which is Hooked on Hornets. And I think that there's an ability for us to really grow the podcast word so that more and more salespeople can benefit from what we're trying to do on a weekly basis. We're going to up our game for guests, and we're going to up our game for continuity, maybe do a couple of podcasts a week, maybe even expand it to 3 podcasts a week. We'll see what happens. We are counseling other people that are experts in the field, and I could easily give just one shout out to other Doug.
Doug Sandler.
Well, listen, Doug Sandler, right, who has been very instrumental in giving us advice. And I think that you should at least pay attention to that. His podcast is Nice Guy, the Nice Guy Network. And I think that podcasting is becoming more of an integral tool for learning for not just salespeople, but business people and moms and dads and anybody who wants information on anything. You can go into iTunes. We personally are Overcast people, but
we're everywhere.
Yeah, we're everywhere. But if you go in and search any category, there's 20 podcasts on it right now. Mm-hmm. And you need to look at what's your future in podcasting. And if you need help, just email us.
Okay, Stella before Guy. The end, I have a personal question for you, Jeffrey.
All right.
Do you miss Death Wish Coffee being out of the country?
Yeah.
I'm just curious. They have really good coffee here.
They have really good coffee here.
What your thoughts were on that?
It's the coffee in France is almost as good as Death Wish Coffee.
Whoa, that's amazing.
Whoa. Okay, so if you don't have Death Wish Coffee on your list,
For Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine giving Santa Claus a death wish? But I think that you're in a situation right now where you need coffee, you want coffee, the coffee you're serving in your office is shit, and for another dollar or two, you can have the best coffee on the planet, Death Wish Coffee. I hope you subscribe to their service. Their Keurig stuff is unbelievable. Please have a great year. Thank you very much. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling, and my amazing partner.
I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're wishing you a sales year that will be unbelievable, unforgettable, and profitable. Go, go.